Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told you that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Listen to me. Rich people think differently. So what I'm going to put in your head today is a rich people concept so you can get to understand it. The only difference between successful people and not is just how they think. Rich people think different. Quit letting people tell you you got to get qualified in another program. You don't need another program to be successful. You need to change the way you think. So here's the deal. The problem with becoming a millionaire is that when you decide that you want to be a millionaire, you immediately start thinking, how can I become a millionaire? Well, that thought don't just pop into your head, so you get frustrated and you don't become a millionaire. And you start creating stuff like, well, I guess this wasn't the Lord's will, or as soon as I think of how I'm going to make a million. You can't think of how to make $1 million. Stop. Do you know if you knew how to make $1 million, what's the day, Tuesday? Wouldn't you make it by Friday? Wouldn't not you make it by Friday? But suppose I told you how you can become a millionaire with what you have. Because here's the deal. All of you have everything it takes to become rich. You just don't believe it. Now, if you can develop this theory that I'm about to share with you, I have the way for you to be rich. This is it. First of all of you have a gift. God gave it to you when he created you. God never created a single soul without giving them a gift. That's the God that created you. He's a very smart God. Here's the cold thing. When he made you, he put the gift inside of you. He didn't hide it under the ocean. It ain't on the mountain nowhere. It ain't under no rocks. You ain't got to go drilling. God put what you needed inside of you at birth. All of you have a gift. But you have got to do your gift, the thing God gave you at birth to do. It is the thing that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. That's your gift. Anything else you doing, you wasting your time. Do you hear me? You wasting your time. If when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and it makes you sick every morning that alarm go off, it's because you ain't doing your gift. You're going against what God created you to be. Do most of you know what your gift is? Who in here doesn't know their gift yet? Okay, let me tell you what you do. Go home today. Don't talk to nobody. Sit down and have one conversation with yourself. What is the thing that I do the absolute best with the least amount of effort? This ain't going to take you long. You old enough, you grown. Write it down. I don't care if it's networking. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's doing color. I don't care if it's painting. Whatever it is, it's what you do. Sing it. Whatever you do the best, write it down. That's your gift. That's it. You ain't got to go asking a bunch of people. They've been telling you your whole life. You know, you ever have people call you with their problems? They always call you with your problems because you gifted at it. But you didn't know how to identify it. If you identify your gift. Now, let me ask you this question. This thing that you're gifted at, if you did it for somebody, do you think somebody would pay you $10 for your gift? Just $10. Could you babysit for $10? Could you cut somebody's hair for $10? Could you cut their grass for $10? Could you make them a chicken dinner for $10? Could you do something for $10? Everybody, don't you have something somebody would give you $10 for? Okay, now, once you have something that somebody's willing to pay you $10 for, this is how this works. It's called the multiples of 10. See, you don't have to figure out how to be a millionaire. You just got to figure out the thing that makes you $10. So now here we go. You do it and you make $10. Soon as they pay you the 10, go do it 10 more times. Whatever it was. Watch some more kids 10 more times. Get another 10. You got $100. When you get $100, whatever you did to make that $100, listen to me, do it 10 more times. You ain't got to get tricky with it. Just do it 10 more times. You'd have made $1,000. Whatever you did to make the $1,000, don't get smart. Stay stupid now. Do it 10 more times. You have now made $10,000. Hold up. Now we finna grow a little bit. But guess what you got to do to grow? You just got to do some more. Whatever you made $10,000 doing, I need you to do it 10 more times. What you tripping for? If you do it 10 more times, you got $100,000. Now, you might have to hire some people to make this happen. You got to figure that part out. But all you got to do is do what you did for $10. Once you make $100,000, uh-oh, if you just do it 10 more times. We'll be right back.
Rachel, thank you. Tens of thousands of dollars in unpaid water bills and people refusing to pay. In the face of an $8 million budget gap, the city of West Palm Beach says it's prepared to foreclose on property owners if those bills are not paid. News Channel 5's Alex Sands is live with the story tonight, all new at 5:30. Alex?
The list of properties is a long one, Kelly, some 22 pages long, and some of the homes are in neighborhoods like this one here near downtown West Palm Beach. Some people owe a couple of hundred dollars, others as much as $1,700. 19th, 5th, Macy. The story's the same.
That's happening all over.
And still, for Herbert Dingle, it's no surprise.
He got a notice and ignored, I don't know what. The bill come to the tenant. The tenant responsible.
Two of his neighbors are a part of that list. The more than 150 homes in the city of West Palm Beach that owe a combined $45,000 unpaid water bills from the city's historic north end to its south.
These are people that they take services from the city and they simply don't pay for it, and we don't tolerate it.
Some of the homes are abandoned, their owners in faraway places. Still, the city's pressing on.
We're going to put liens on their property. We're going to go after their property. If they don't pay the bills and they try and sell their property, we're there to collect. Every penny matters. Every dollar counts.
A lot of the bills are more than 6 months old. Herbert Dingle wonders, could there be a mistake?
This way it was shooting. It was loose right here.
Someone being billed for a broken water meter, or the city just doing its job.
I can't question the city on that, you know, because they had their rules.
Following the rules as a city tries to collect. 45,000 outstanding today, some months as much as 70,000. You can read the list, the properties in its entirety on WPTV.com.
Today's topic is water security. And we'll probably cover this topic, which comes under the banner of energy poverty. I had a little experience yesterday, which now that I played this audio, and I played this audio, oh God, I forgot it. I had it in the archives. We're going to play it again quickly. But water security, because, water is very precious. Very precious. And I think there's a group of, well, I would say a nation, or quite a few people that have, you know, they don't want to deal with some of these municipalities. Not to live in, they might work in them, spend some money in them, but let's play this again, because now earlier this year, probably within the last 90 days or 120 days max, we mentioned on here that Hamtramck, Michigan, and Highland Park, Michigan, which those are two cities, those are two towns that are within the geographical boundary of the city of Detroit, Michigan. I thought that's very, I've been to both of them. But they're like, you got Detroit, Michigan, but then they're, like I say, they're two towns within one larger city, Hamtramck. And those two cities, but I think particularly Highland Park, Michigan, they have actually, a lot of people left out of the town. Not all of them, but a lot, you know, quite a few, because the water company, which is owned by the municipality of Highland Park or Hamtramck, Michigan, they foreclosed on people. So can you imagine? People got a mortgage from a bank and they worked hard. And we're talking about Detroit, it traditionally is a blue-collar town. Worked hard and, you know, worked those extra shifts, got house paid off. You know, here's something for the kids and grandkids, and, you know, they don't have to worry about that part of life. And then those water bills came in high, And due to various factors, inflation and unionized employees, and they lose their house to water bills. And there are other towns all across the United States that typically you're, and you know what, Hamtramck and Highland Park, and even, I'm going to play this again, West Palm, I think you said West Palm Beach, let's listen. But those are not like really big. There are only 10 cities in the United States that have a population of like a million or more people. And you have slightly over 19,000 towns in the United States. Anyway, but energy poverty, you need to think about water security. And personally, I think you need to start, if you're dealing with municipal water, try to get off grid as soon as possible.
Rachel, thank you. Tens of thousands of dollars in unpaid water bills and people refusing to pay. In the face of an $8 million budget gap, the city of West Palm Beach says it's prepared to foreclose on property owners if those bills are not paid. News Channel 5's Alex Sands is live with the story tonight, all new at 5:30. Alex?
The list of properties is a long one, Kelly, some 22 pages long, and some of the homes are in neighborhoods like this one here near downtown West Palm Beach. Some people owe a couple of hundred dollars, others as much as $1,700. 19th, 5th, Macy. The story's the same.
That's happening all over.
And still, for Herbert Dingle, it's no surprise.
He got a notice and ignored, I don't know what. The bill come to the tenant. The tenant responsible.
Two of his neighbors are a part of that list. The more than 150 homes in the city of West Palm Beach that owe a combined $45,000 unpaid water bills from the city's historic north end to its south.
These are people that they take services from the city and they simply don't pay for it, and we don't tolerate it.
Some of the homes are abandoned, their owners in faraway places. Still, the city's pressing on.
We're going to put liens on their property. We're going to go after their property. If they don't pay the bills and they try and sell their property, we're there to collect. Every penny matters. Every dollar counts.
A lot of the bills are more than 6 months old. Herbert Dingle wonders, could there be a mistake?
This way, it was shooting. This was loose right here.
Someone being billed for a broken water meter, or the city just doing its job.
I can't question the city on that, you know, because they had their rules.
Following the rules as a city tries to collect.
45,000 outstanding today, some months as much as 70,000. You can read the list, the properties in its entirety on WPTV.com.
I'm trying to get some information on West Palm Beach. Let's play this other audio while we're doing that.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hernandez, and this is the Weekly Report, a look at news from the city of Kansas City, Missouri. City Manager Troy Schulte announced a $10 million bond allocation to demolish about 800 blighted properties on the city's dangerous buildings list. The initiative is part of the proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year. This week, the manager, along with Mayor Sly James, delivered their joint budget proposal to City Council Finance Committee Chairman Scott Wagner. In addition to the demolition, the manager described a companion idea. If you want to fix up a home, you can buy it for just $1. You heard me right, only $1. Plus, once the house has been rehabbed and there is an owner-occupier in place, they would be eligible to receive up to $8,500 towards the renovation cost.
There has always been some concern that, well, instead of demolishing these buildings, is there an opportunity for them to be rehabbed? There is. Those two buildings are now for sale for $1. I'm serious. $1, and if you rehab that and put somebody in there who will live in the as an owner-occupied resident, the city, as part of this bond program, will rebate what would have cost us about $8,500 in demolition costs. We will rebate that to the person who rehabs that house or buys that house and lives in it at the end of that environment.
For more information on this win-win deal, visit kcmo.gov and search Land Bank.
Okay. I found my information on West Palm Beach. So let me play that audio once again before I get, so I can give out the information.
Rachel, thank you. Tens of thousands of dollars in unpaid water bills and people refusing to pay. In the face of an $8 million budget gap, the city of West Palm Beach says it's prepared to foreclose on property owners if those bills are not paid. News Channel 5's Alex Sands is live with the story tonight, all new at 5:30. Alex?
The list of properties is a long one, Kelly, some 22 pages long, and some of the homes are in neighborhoods like this one here near downtown West Palm Beach. Some people owe a couple of hundred dollars, others as much as $1,700. 19th, 5th, Macy. The story's the same.
That's happening all over.
And still, for Herbert Dingle, it's no surprise.
He got a notice and ignored, I don't know what. The bill come to the tenant. The tenant responsible.
Two of his neighbors are a part of that list. The more than 150 homes in the city of West Palm Beach that owe a combined $45,000 unpaid water bills from the city's historic north end to its south.
These are people that they take services from the city and they simply don't pay for it, and we don't tolerate it.
Some of the homes are abandoned, their owners in faraway places. Still, the city's pressing on.
We're going to put liens on their property. We're going to go after their property. If they don't pay the bills and they try and sell their property, we're there to collect. Every penny matters. Every dollar counts.
A lot of the bills are more than 6 months old. Herbert Dingle wonders, could there be a mistake?
This way it was shooting. This was loose right here.
Someone being billed for a broken water meter, or the city just doing its job.
I can't question the city on that, you know, because they had the rules.
Following the rules as a city tries to collect.
$45,000 outstanding today, some months as much as $70,000. You can read the list, the properties in its entirety on WPTV.com.
Now, the city of West Palm Beach, and that's an old audio. I don't know how many years ago that story was reported. I know a little bit about West Palm Beach. I had a couple of room, actually I had three room properties there. That was back in the 90s. And one of the reasons why I got it is because there you have to pay the water bill monthly, and those water bills were not light. But in any event, West Palm Beach has a population of 117,415 people. Now, as you heard in the report, because I played that audio three, four times, maybe five times already this morning, one of the, as you heard him say, some months there's as many as 70,000 people. Granted, the city only has a little bit over 115,000. Half of that is 58,000. So over 50% of the city, some months, not every month, are, and you know what, I don't know what to compare that to with other cities, but you heard what one of the city employees said. They'll put a lien against the house and take the house. And Palm Beach, Highland Park, Michigan, Hamtramck, Michigan, as well as other towns where you can buy the water bill lien and take it to court and foreclose. And I guess that you can put that all under the banner of energy poverty, which my solution, which is not the only solution, or actually, that I shouldn't even say, well, maybe strategy is a better word, is move out of these municipalities, the large ones. Now, West Palm Beach, with a population of 117,000, that's not a whole lot of people, but it's enough. Because they've got a payroll of meat, or they got a payroll of meat every 2 weeks. They've got contractors that they have to pay. and they have pensions that they have to pay. Infrastructure, particularly older infrastructure, which, you know, it's a lot of that stuff's old. So let me look. I'm going to see if West Palm Beach. West Palm Beach isn't even within, it's not even within the top 100 cities in the United States. Let's see where Tom joined. I don't know why he popped in my head. Okay. Birmingham, Alabama is the 100th largest city in the United States with a little bit over 212,000 people. So, all right, well, let's try this. And once again, the United States has over 19,000 towns, cities, what have you. Okay, let me see where West Palm Beach falls into this. Now, you know, I'm extreme here. So my thing is, you know what? If you love West Palm Beach, you know, you got a job there, you got family there, you go to church there, what have you. My thing is, get the hell out of West Palm Beach. Go to a rural area, which isn't far from there. Drive 30 to 60 minutes outside of West Palm Beach, and you'll find a whole new universe. Well, maybe not universe, but world. Okay, now. I'm trying to find out where West Palm Beach is ranked. Oh, man. All right, this page is not cooperating. Okay, let me try another page. Okay, 200. Oh, no, that's the same page. Anyway, well, while I'm trying to get my computer hold it, let's try it by water security. And see, a lot of these municipalities, because a municipality is a business. It's a business. And, you know, nothing wrong with a municipality being a business. You see, they got to make payroll and all that. But, you know, they're doing it. There's a price tag on that. And, frankly, if you can't, move. Go to a place where, because anytime you got that many water bills delinquent in a month, and most of those usually get paid. Now, let me throw that in there, too. Most of those usually get paid. But you heard the attitude of the city employees. He's very civic-minded. They'll put a lien against the property. I mean, they are providing the service. I mean, water is very, very important. But I'm just saying, man, you know, take a drive 30 minutes to help. Well, I drove 3 hours. But not here, I don't have to drive anywhere. But because we're off the grid here with water. But I drove 3 hours away, where I have more freedom, and where there's, you know, it's, but once again, water, no matter where you're at, you gotta have some type of water security plan. For me, it's going to be a padlock. But then that's a whole nother story. Okay, now, I've got a list of the 300 and... okay, West Palm Beach has got to be in here somewhere. Let's see. West Palm Beach... we're looking for this city ranking. Pompano Beach, which isn't far from West Palm Beach, is a, but we're not looking for Pompano. Okay. Clearwater. That's not too far, but I'm not looking for Clearwater. Oh, here we go. Woo! Okay. Wait a minute. West Palm Beach is the 244th city in the United States. That's their rank. They're the 244th largest city in the United States. Now, once again, mind you, there are over 19,000 towns in the United States. So we already know that you, well, you know what? What this is telling me is that there are 244 towns in the United States that I, A, number one, wouldn't want to live in, and B, because those municipalities, they'll put a lien on you if you take municipal water and for some reason can't pay for it. And that's a lot of cities. So, however, once again, with most of these towns, you can take a relatively short drive, 30 minutes to an hour, maybe in some cases 90 minutes. But most people are not going to, they're not going to drive over an hour. Most people want, I mean, within an hour of wherever they lay their head at night, most people, that's where they want their job, that's where they go worship, if they go religious services, that's where their kids go to school, that's where they go shopping, entertainment, friends. Most people live in what I call a 60-minute time zone. And literally, if it's one more minute after that, the majority of the population, no, that's too far away. I mean, you can take a person who is unemployed, okay, right now in West Palm Beach or New York City or Los Angeles, California, or Seattle, Seattle, Washington, and if they would drive just 30 minutes, if they would look at a 30-minute radius, I say a 30-minute to 60-minute radius, or where they are right now, that person can do two things. A, they can probably find employment that's sustainable, and B, now, of course, they have to have a corresponding lifestyle to go with that, but they can find a job, more than likely they can find a job or several jobs if they would drive just 30 to 60 minutes out of their comfort zone and find sustainable housing that they can afford. Now, me, because, you know, I'm an extremist. Good Lord. You know what? I don't even think, because the towns that I deal with, let me see. Pembroke, Illinois. Let me see where that ranks. Rankings. Oh, I don't even think that ranks. Anyway, I like to hang out in towns that have a population. Ideally, under 400 people. But now, where I'm at right now, because you have a lot of rural areas where I'm at. I'm sort of like in a mixed subdivision. But right across the street from me, less than a minute walk from where I'm sitting right now, literally, wouldn't even take me less than a minute to walk across the street. There's a citrus orchard within, you know, the Tropicana juices, whatever. There's a citrus. I just walked across the street to that. You know, and then the family who owns that, you know, if I walk like a minute down the street, they got horses and cows. But on the other side of the street, you know, it's a subdivision. So, but then around here, you know, most people around here have privacy fences and mother-in-law cottages. And mother-in-law cottages are basically tiny homes before the term tiny home got blown up. A lot of people around here, a lot of my neighbors, they're off the grid with water. Many have their own wells with their own purification system. Some capture rainwater. So here you can tango on or off the grid or a combination of the two. All right. And then you go, there are a lot of, because Florida has 67 counties. So once you get outside of the Fort Lauderdale, once you get away from Broward and Dade County, which is in the southern northeast part of the state, and then let's see, out of Duval County where Jacksonville is, out of Orange County where Orlando is, out of Tampa and St. Petersburg, Florida, proper, although I got friends that live in Tampa, and it's like a rural area they got cargo containers, they're really off the grid, but they're in Tampa. But once you're outside of Orange County in Orlando, Duval County, where Jacksonville is, which is the largest city in the state, outside of Tallahassee proper, and outside of Broward, outside of Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County, Florida, because they all three of those are connected. Outside of those areas, Florida's basically country. Hee-haw country. Pickup trucks. Around Lake Okeechobee, it's rural. You know, up in the Florida Panhandle, which they also call Lower Alabama. So, so a lot of people in those areas are not suffering from energy poverty. Energy poverty is a big deal, in my opinion, a bigger deal in some of these larger municipalities, which are, no mercy, even during the pandemic. So with water security, I say the first step is find you a patch of dirt where you can legally harvest your own water. All right. And in a lot of these places, you can harvest your own water and basically you're left alone. because all your neighbors around you, they do the same thing. However, as a safety precaution, you want to have some type of system. Like for me, I'm going to get a padlock. And that's basically all I need. Okay. Other people, you might need a tad bit more than that. Maybe a security camera, a motion detector, something like that. That's if you got your own private water supply. Now, those people that are in the city, man, you know what? Measure out how much water you need on a daily basis. Weigh out, is it less expensive for you to call a Culligan man and they deliver water to you, or is it better if you take municipal water? Now, but like I say, I've dealt in West Palm Beach County. I've had to pay some of those water bills. And like I say, number one, they're monthly. Here, just had the water well come out, what, every year or so, and make sure, you know, it's up to par maintenance-wise. But I don't get a water bill. I don't get a water bill. And only reason why I'm going with a padlock on my system is because I rented out my driveway. That's part of my Chinese menu. You know, you need a place to park? Got a spot for you. So, in any event, I learned, okay, you know what, just let me get a padlock. And that'll prevent, you know, that way if they need something, they have to come to me to get it. Now, in other locations, I'm thinking, you know, we have to think how we're going to handle water security. But it's something to think about. Once again, people, there are over 19,000 towns in the United States. So you have to decide on. Let me look at it now, because we just made it to, you know what, I'm curious now. Roanoke, Virginia, which has a little bit, has 100,011 people, they have, Roanoke, Virginia is ranked 326th largest city in the United States. Let's see if we can. Okay. I'm gonna see if we can get to 1,000. Okay. Well, hold on. Wait. Okay, 1,000 U.S. cities by population. I'm not going to read them all, but I just want to get, you know, I want to see. Okay. All right. Yeah, because a lot of people, man, move. If you're out here struggling. Okay, I'm scrolling here. All right. Let's read some cities that I'm sure you've heard of before. Youngstown, Ohio. I think it's ranked, 534th largest. Well, wait a minute. Now I don't want to scroll all the way back. It's Youngstown, Ohio. Let's put it at, it's ranked the 537th largest city in the United States. Kissimmee, Florida, that's right where Disney World and the whole Disney complex with SeaWorld and all that, part of it's in Kissimmee, Florida. Actually, it's in Kissimmee, Florida. I don't know why they keep on saying Miami. I mean, not Miami, Orlando. That's ranked 539th largest city in the United States. Rockville, Maryland, which is a suburb of D.C., ranked 548th largest city in the United States. Rowlett, Texas, home of Marvelous Milton. And that, I was there a few years ago. They're ranked 28th largest city in the United States. Kokomo, Indiana, 640th largest city in the United States. Commerce City, Colorado. Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, which isn't far from Cleveland. 762nd largest city in the United States. It's amazing how massive this country is. And I'm still working on the 1,000 range, and the best stuff gets nowhere near that. Culver City, California. It's the 941st largest city in the United States. Panama. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go up. Monrovia, California is the 1,000th largest city in the United States. Lincoln Park, Michigan is 933 largest. How far does this list go down? Jesus. Okay. It goes down to 105. Panama City is 105. It's ranked 1,005. And Monrovia, California is the 1,000th largest city in the United States. Phoenix City, Alabama. I've been there before, matter of fact. I used to hang out with Fred Rerun Berry. And that's one of the towns we were in. And that's ranked 988. Westerville, Ohio. Heard of it, never been there. You haven't been there yet. 986. So you got a lot of towns. So like I say, what works for me to optimize my freedom is these little small towns that have less than 400 people. They're in rural areas. Now, some of these towns, and a lot of these towns that the top 1,000, they're typically municipalities, but like right outside of them, you got a lot of freedom. in any event, well, you can do your own research on that. I'll be playing around with this probably over the weekend. Mansfield, Ohio, 104. So I would say first step to water security. Now, this isn't for everybody because I'm an extremist. Is find a location where you can dig a well. And actually, not only dig a well, harvest rainwater as well. Find a jurisdiction you can do that. Can't do that in Washington, D.C. Neither one of them. You might probably have some people on the slide probably harvesting rainwater in D.C., but the rainwater thing is just, you know, it's not going to happen in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, New York, none of those places. But that's all right, because you can, if you don't mind, because this is an interesting scenario. You can work in New York City, because a lot of people work in New York City, but they commute in from somewhere else. If you go to New York, if you go within to a central or upper part of New York State to a rural area, it's a whole different ball game. Even if you go from New York City to Buffalo, New York, or Rochester, one of those places, Niagara Falls, New York, not Niagara Falls, Canada, but Niagara Falls, New York, Rochester, New York, and Buffalo, New York are completely different like worlds in New York City. In New York City, put it this way, in Buffalo, New York, and I'm not talking about something I read on the internet, I was actually there. Well, I don't know if you can do it now, but you can still buy an inexpensive house in Buffalo, New York. But at one time, they had a glut of houses that cost $500 to $1,000. Matter of fact, let me go to Realtor.com right now. Whereas in New York City, you know, you'd be happy to, you'd be pressed to find a shoebox for that cheap. Realtor.com. Buffalo, New York. But many factors come into play. A person's lifestyle, family situation. And then it's only limited to your imagination. I mean, if you wanted to live in Switzerland, okay, where do I want to go? I don't want these prices. I hate how these computers do this. Oh, wait a minute. Price. Okay. We want no minimum. Oh, yeah, Jesus. All right. The maximum we want is $90,000. Okay, I'm trying to get lower than this because I'm spoiled. Max 90,000. For those of you who are online, just to follow, we're on Realtor.com. All right. And I typically do not deal with real estate agents, because this is what this site really is pointing you towards, retail real estate agents. The house that is brought up so far, and I'm trying to get lower than this. Oh, man. $89,000, $69,000. The market of people that I'm looking to serve like to buy, their budget, to be honest about it, is about $5,000 or $6,000. The person that he's my client. He bought an RV. That's his house on wheels for $5,000 cash. Some people don't want an RV. They want a camper. I'm serving the Walmart crowd, which is the bottom, the prosperous bottom of the pyramid here in the United States. Now, I didn't say bottom of the barrel. I said the prosperous bottom of the pyramid, the base. That's, think about, how did Sam and Alice Walton become billionaires? They were serving Joe and Josephine Average in Bentonville. What do you call it? Where did they set up? Bentonville, Arkansas. All right, hold it. Let's see. Property price. All right, let me put. Oh, I hate these people. All right, they go as low as $50,000. I'll put 90. Yeah, man, this site is rigged. Okay. All right, let's see how low we can go. Like on here, this is a four-bedroom house, $69,000. That's the asking price. If they're asking for $69,000, it'll probably take $10,000-$15,000 lower than that. But Buffalo was a place where you could, no minimum. Well, let's try that again. I'm pretty sure you can probably go to Buffalo, New York, and find a $20,000 house. Only thing is, a lot of those houses are poorly insulated, so you're going to have to super insulate the house. Yeah, you know what, Realtor.com, everything on here is a retail price. I'm spoiled. Anything over $5,000, matter of fact, that's why I took an interest in building. Because me personally, I don't even want to spend $2,000 to build something or to buy something. Because I used to buy them from banks for about $1,000 to $2,000. But now, when banks started dealing with realtors, I'm better off doing without them. All right, well, here's something for $27,500. Well, that's land. All right, well, I won't be making any trips to Buffalo anytime soon. But like I said, this Realtor.com is, it's, you know what, hold it. Let me try Zillow. Since people talk about Zillow all the time. The best of people, if you're looking to buy a house, actually, you know what? The best deal that you can get on a house is one you build yourself, number one. Number two, minus the bells and whistles. Okay. Number two, if you have to buy a house, you need to go to an area where they have some dirt cheap houses. And that's what I'm trying to look up for you right now. Let's see, we're going back to Buffalo. And I'm, you know, because I've got some experience with this. Let's see, Buffalo, New York. We're looking for them for sale. Okay, now, price. Oh, Jesus, what's with these people, man? I'm going to put $20,000. I don't know if it'll let me do it. Oh, okay. Better luck with Zillow. Zillow for $10,000. They have a house listed. They have, but it's 3,485 square foot. It's a lot. So I'm not taking that. Remember, I'm spoiled. I got the 10 acres in Texas for $2,000. So, I'm not paying $10,000. Let me see what there's here. These are all lots. All right. I'm not paying $18,000 for a lot. Let's see. Well, things have changed in Buffalo. Is it one? I'm trying to find something with a house on it. $10,000, another lot. What probably happened in Buffalo is the city tore down a lot of those houses. A lot of people lost those houses because they couldn't pay the water bills, among other things. Forget about Buffalo. And Buffalo's got too many people in it in the first place. Man, I need to drink something. Let's see. Doggone it. Wait a minute, I'm trying to... All right, wait a minute. I'm trying to go to the phone lines here. Okay, wait a minute. All right, now.
Hello?
Yeah. Man, Blog Talk was playing tricks on me. I clicked one button thinking it was you, and then the light would go. Anyway, we called each other. All right, what's your feedback, Robert?
I was turning it off and on to try to get your attention. I've got to go in just a minute for another phone appointment. I had a comment to make about them putting lien on your house for unpaid property bills. For one thing, why would they let it go on so long? It should be illegal that they should be able to allow that bill to accumulate so long that they can put a lien on your property. If you don't pay your property, if you don't pay your water, they come out and shut it off, and then there's no, and they terminate it at the thing, right, so that there's no more bill generated. It should be illegal for them to allow it to accumulate so much, and then they're going to attach a lien on it. And they
you got
are,
a point.
They are, it's, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you don't pay it, and let's say they shut it off because you owe, like, something like maybe $50 to $100. Okay. Let's say they shut it off, but, like you said, in their case, it sounds like they let it get to the, you know, a few thousand dollars in arrears.
Yeah, so watch this. The electric company, I don't pay my bill, okay? They come out and shut the water off.
They shut the lights off. Right.
Right? Then there's no more accumulation. They don't leave the lights on.
That's a very good point you brought up. Because I know, like, in D.C., the electric company, which is a monopoly in D.C., Pepco, they'll shut you off. And then they'll take you to court. All right, but they're not forced.
Right.
But they don't let it get. But see, that's a private company, so they're not trying to take your house. You're right. A lot of these municipalities, they don't shut it off. They let it keep on going.
We need to have some legislation because they are able to abscond with people's property, and you should not. They should not be able to attach their utilities to your house that you can't pay a bill that they can come and take it from you. They should just remove their services and go right on about their business. We need some legislation for real. I don't know why people are going for this okey-doke anyway.
You know what? The potentially largest lobby group in the United States, the wealthiest lobby group, that they have not organized in a lobby group at all, are homeowners. It's a mystery to me why homeowners nationwide have not banded together on a state level or a federal level, none that I know about at least, and have lobbyists. And you're right, homeowners can basically bankroll the legislation to put things in their favor. But for some reason, we got lobbyists for a whole lot of things, but for some reason there's not a lobby group of homeowners in the United States.
Huh. Okay.
That's why I'm saying the easiest solution is to take matters in your own hand and drive 30 minutes. 60 minutes, maybe 90 minutes outside. Find a place to live where you're not going to get caught up with that and have your own independent power system going, your own water and your own electric.
Yep. Completely off-grid.
Completely off-grid.
And whatever you do, don't attach yourself to the municipality, because once you do, you are in jeopardy of them putting a lien on your property. And they can do it for even a penny. They can put on there and they can attach, you can attach to their services, and then they've got some connection fee or some sort of other fee that doesn't necessarily generate a bill. So you don't know it. Okay.
Well, a lot of these cities, because a lot of us are addicted to the comfort and conveniences of light and air conditioning and heating and all that. Because if you think about it, a lot of these municipalities, they grew to the size that they grew to because when electricity, a lot of these towns, one of their marketing tools was, back before we were born, you know, electricity. Well, if you go to think about it, a lot of people that probably move, particularly out of the black townships, or even these small towns where it was mostly white folks, a lot of these people moved to your larger cities, or towns that later became larger cities, because these towns had municipal water and they had electricity, and it was affordable back then. There weren't unionized government employees back then. So it was, you know, it was inexpensive. But now, with unionized gut city employees in many cities, maybe not all of them, but many of them, then you got people with their retirement or pensions that got to be paid out of that. It's a different ball game now. So it's just like a lot of people left the rural environment to come live in the city for the comfort and conveniences. Well, now you got people that are moving out of the city, moving to rural areas for sustainability.
Yeah.
And you got some comfort and convenience, too, because if you can get a Wi-Fi connection, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can work anywhere with a Wi-Fi connection. I mean, depending on whatever you're doing. But, yeah, I agree with you. Why? And then you got a lot of these towns that have land banks now. And that's property that somebody didn't pay the water bill, somebody didn't pay the property taxes, so the city forecloses on them, and they've got a glut of property. Therefore, they have a land bank where you can buy, you know, those dollar programs that they, you know, they talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, except for there's a lot of cities that they're not doing anything with those. They're not even turning them over for the homeless to use.
Well, they're not going to turn them over to homeless.
Then they have enough nerve to go after abandoned homes and stuff like that and tell them that they're a blight to the neighborhood, and then they get those in their inventory too, and then they still are a blight because they're not upgrading these homes or improving them or doing anything to them. All they're doing is generating income for themselves. They don't care about sustainability. They don't care about anything like that except getting more money. I've got to go, so I'll see you later.
Oh, okay. Girl, I was bringing Pianchi on so Pianchi can throw his 2 cents on this one if he had any comment on it. 314, your mic is open. Oh, Robin just dropped off.
Robin, Robin run. Robin's always running.
She had to take another call. She literally just dropped off. I wanted you to comment on her comment.
No, people should pay their bill.
Well, now, what about it? Now, if, I'm not disputing that, but what about, I think she made a point, though. All right, if you don't pay the bill, let's say that first, whatever you might owe, $50.
Well, you know they're not going to water off. They're not going to cut a water off if a bill is 1 month behind. That's literally impossible. Well, you must have about 10 people in the county. I just sent you an email.
All right, I'll look at it on when I open
Fire Academy at Palm Beach Lakes High School.
Let me open up that email account.
We
probably got about 90,000 to 100,000 here now. But Lakeland Electric, which they supply electric and water. Now I don't take the water, but they. Matter of fact, in Palm Beach County, because I had some rental property there back in the '90s, late '90s. Palm Beach County, I can testify, they cut you off if you don't pay that bill. They're not going to let you get up to 2 months. They're cutting you off.
Well, they probably do it because of experience, Ellie. But all municipalities aren't
true.
The same.
Yeah.
Some of these municipalities, like these cities, they have Black Lives Matter and rioting, looting, and burning property if you turn off people's water, which is stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
All that activity, you should have collected money to help the people pay the daggone water bill. Where's the churches at? That's what church is supposed to be doing.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother kettle of fish there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that all this stuff going on, like Robin was saying, there needs to be a law. Well, that's up to that community. That ain't no federal law.
No.
On your water bill.
Right.
And that's one of the things, I guess others too, but blacks forever looking to the federal government for every issue.
Federal government, state government, and local government.
So pay the water bill. If you can't pay your water bill, go to your church. That's what the church is for. It's supposed to provide a service that citizens would otherwise look to the government to provide. That's why they have a tax exempt
status.
That
the church, you know that the church can't bail out everybody.
Well, but here's the thing. Rather than wanting the government, the federal government, to become a social paradigm, practice that socialness there with your local community, with your church. People helping people.
You know,
we
now,
stick
I agree
together.
With you on that.
We identify.
I agree with you on that, but what I think is, this is just my opinion. I think the disconnect with the church, be it black, white, or whatever, but particularly with the black church, is that the average, in my opinion, from the and observation, from the pastors I've met, they don't have the business acumen or imagination or even drive.
Well, that's
on,
why
you
have
me,
people members.
Right.
Members are supposed to join and do that. That's the
I
same
agree,
thing Garvey had a problem with. Garvey was hiring people for those ships. Well, first you need to have the damn thing inspected to see if it's seaworthy. Duh.
Right.
Well, then you need to find people who would volunteer in this case, in that case, that is, to do that inspection. So if a preacher don't know what the hell to do, the same thing with politicians. A politician could have been an auto mechanic the week before, and now he's up there in Washington trying to address issues. And that's why I come when they do go to address issues, they some lackadaisical ratchet issues, like Cori Bush, 1st Congressional District in Missouri, St. Louis, represent blacks, took Lacey Clay's position. Well, as soon as she get elected, she's doing sit-in, stage-outs because of the homelessness. Well, damn.
Right.
Your constituencies, all of them ain't homeless. Homeless didn't come vote for you.
Right.
Then you then she come up with some idea about cutting defense spending. Well, one of the biggest employers in her district is Boeing, a defense contractor.
Mm-hmm. Pink, I'm looking for your
so
mail now. The
I'm
latest
saying.
One I got.
Mm-hmm.
Did you text him?
I didn't email.
Me.
I'm sorry. I sent a text message. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know how to use this phone.
I was looking at my mail. Okay.
So what I'm saying is that up to the people to choose their leaders in these situations, whether it's the church, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the school. And if they don't do the job that they're supposed to do, then you usually have all these problems all over the place. Pay your water bill. A $200 water bill is several months. That ain't no 1 month, is it? That's about 4 months.
Yeah. In Detroit, what they're doing is for people that are buying homes in the city of Detroit, if there was an outstanding water bill left by the previous owner, the new owner has to pay that at the settlement table along with
they're going to be faced with the
closing
lien.
Cost.
You can't, where you going to find the old owner at? They gone. They might be dead.
Yeah, you're right. They're gone.
So that's a lien that's on that property. The same way if you don't cut your grass. Your city will come in and cut your grass, cut your weeds at that point. Then they will put a lien on your property. When I was
they
a
call that,
code enforcement officer for a municipality, that's what I done.
Public
nuisance.
You're right.
It's nuisance ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Can be used for many things. To get drug dealers out of a house. Abandoned property.
Which,
it can be used to tear abandoned property down.
I had in West Palm Beach, this was back in the late 90s, the way the police department cracked down on alleged drug dealers is they wouldn't arrest anybody, but they would go to the landlords and put pressure on the landlords to make that suspected drug dealer move out.
Well, the police department really is not.
And it goes one step further. They would shut the building down. That's what they would do, the police department.
Yeah, now, police departments, I guess, can't. But it's best to have a code official in that capacity for that municipality to do that. How do you do that with the police? You got the ultimate threat is coming in on the other end, warning. That's not
right.
Police. They need to hire a code official that does that. And that
well,
can be
done
doing three
it,
steps. You give them an issue.
Now.
Yeah, you give them a warning. And you give them a certain amount of time to address the warning. If they don't address it in that certain amount of time, you give them another warning. Give them 30 days to address it. If they don't address that, you give them another final warning.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't address it after the final warning, then you go about doing what you're going to do, even if that's cutting the grass or cutting the weeds.
Right.
Even if that means removing the property. If it's condemned and dangerous and unsafe, the amount of money it costs to remove their property, sometimes $10,000, $12,000,
$15,000,
that's a lien that you put on the property because normally you're paying it with community development block grant dollars.
Right.
And you know, it's really sad because in one community I tore down 99 condemned properties. Can you imagine that? 99.
That's a lot of houses. That's a lot.
99. This is a black community. My goodness. Kids gotta walk by those places.
Now, let me ask you this, if you remember. All right, out of 99, I'm sure there were some churches within walking distance of those 99 houses.
Yeah, it is. Churches all over the damn place. Like taking graffiti and throwing it in the air.
A lot of these pastors are not forward-thinking. For whatever reason.
And I can visualize at least two on what was St. Louis Avenue in that community. Maybe three. Yeah, one way down there. That's the third. One,
now,
two, three
are
churches.
Those lots still vacant or have they been redeveloped?
Within about five blocks, maybe six blocks, you had at least three churches.
Uh-huh.
And then what they do, they sell them to, they provide the property for projects like Habitat for
Humanity. Okay.
Well, see, when you have that stuff going on in the community, you need to get the hell out of there.
Well, I agree.
You need to get the heck out of there because the people that's coming into that community under those circumstances is not what you want to be living around unless you ain't got absolutely no other choice.
Right.
Because there goes the old famous quotation, there goes the community. The school's going to get worser, and the community is going to get worser. Crime's going to go up and everything else. You should have got the heck out of there.
Well, a lot of people.
Now,
and maybe,
let me ask you a
question. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
No. You're I mean, looking back on it, I think parents should, on a neighborhood level, take your kids, like you drag them to church, take them to these civic associated meetings, which a lot of people do not attend, and find out what's going on in your neighborhood and find out what might be coming to your neighborhood if you don't get involved and stay on top of it.
Well, you know, the thing that you should do in the beginning, go to a public map, which usually is at your city hall or at some community organization.
They're probably at all public libraries.
And you know what they look for? The red line. If an area is redlined, stay the hell away from it. That's what that line tell you. It's going to tell you about the situation of the area, the nature of the area.
Mm-hmm.
Redlining is good because it puts out good information to warn you of where you are going, you better watch out.
Right. Well, a lot of those, I've been to my share of neighborhood meetings, civic association meetings, as they call them.
And Ferguson didn't have a red guard line, there, right?
You don't have a lot of young people that go to those meetings.
No,
when
they
I,
don't.
When I
Ferguson
say that, I'm talking
didn't.
About 20, 30, 40.
Well, functional families, young people, don't go to those meetings because there ain't no functional family young people. They long since gone. Blacks fled. Mm. Then what's happening is the government Democratic ran programs, like I told you. All that's in the Democratic area, that blight. You know them Afghans that's coming, being brought to the United States?
Uh-huh.
1,000 of them is coming to the St. Louis area. Guess where they're going to be located at? They're going to be located far west in the what's called Chesterfield.
Uh-huh.
That is a what you would call a very rich area. They're not coming to the hood. They're not coming to what's called King's Highway and Page, King's Highway and Martin Luther King, King's Highway and Natural Bridge, or nor Grand in those cross streets either, Grand Avenue, nor Union Avenue. They go on way out and locate them out there in Chesterfield. Guess who else located their building way out in that area? LeBron
who?
James with his
Blaze
pizza.
Yeah. LeBron James, yeah.
So
you're
it can't be racism.
Is
not he? Is LeBron James black? So you
he's
can't
black.
Say that the area is black. They let that black business open up out there. But the question is why the black business didn't open up down in the hood where all the Negroes are?
Well, the interesting thing is, I imagine St. Louis still have D.C., Kennedy Street, and Northwest Washington, that used to be a black business district. I think it still might be with a funeral home and that type thing.
Did you get the
Georgia
YouTube
Avenue?
Video?
But I don't know. A lot of those businesses don't even exist no more on Georgia Avenue, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of people are they retired, and the kids didn't take over the business.
Let's see.
Well.
Did you get that video?
No, I'm on my desktop, so I'm just.
Can you, type it in on YouTube. Can you bring up YouTube?
Okay, hold it. Let me get it right now. Are you talking about 1,000 Afghans?
No. It's Fire Academy at Palm Beach Lakes High School.
Okay, Fire Academy. All right, wait a minute. Fire.
At Palm Beach Lakes High School.
Academy. At Palm Beach.
Lakes High School.
Lake High School. All right, here we go. Okay, Palm Beach Academy. Yeah, they got a few videos here.
It's a Fire Academy at Palm Beach Lakes High School.
Yeah, I got it. Ladies,
play that.
No, it won't play over. I got it on my desktop, so you won't be able to hear it over there.
Well, put the Robin speaker up against
Robin's
the
here.
It's 2 minutes, 3 seconds long.
Yeah, I'm on it right now. Only thing is...
Want me to play it?
Yeah, play it on your end.
All right, here you go.
Laurel Warren's father died of cancer before he achieved his... Deborah Warren's father died of cancer before he achieved his goal of becoming a firefighter. Now, as she puts on the uniform, she is reminded of his unfulfilled dream.
And it's something that I wanted to pursue for him and for myself, to be able to complete the dream for him and for myself.
Deborah takes giant steps towards that goal in the Fire Science Academy at Palm Beach Lakes High School. She is so thankful for the program, made possible by the Education Foundation of Palm Beach County and a grant from J.P. Morgan Chase.
Thank you so much. You don't understand how much it means to me for them to allow me to pursue something like this, and I'm very much grateful for it.
The Fire Science Academy of Palm Beach Lakes is in its third year.
You guys are getting, like, the inside scoop on how to become firefighters, and you guys are taking advantage of that.
Right now, 70 students learn from active duty and retired firefighters. The students can receive college credits and industry certifications in areas like emergency medicine.
That's what the Education Foundation is about. That's what this grant from J.P. Morgan Chase is about. It's about kids and getting them ready for the future. And the future is incredibly bright right here at Palm Beach Lake.
After graduation, Deborah will be ready for a full-time job as a firefighter.
The reason why our Fire Academy is so successful is because the kids know right now what they want to do for their life. They want to help people. They want to help the community. And this is a program that allows them to do that.
Thanks to Palm Beach Lakes High School and community support from the Education Foundation and J.P. Morgan Chase, this classroom is launching careers and making dreams come true.
Okay.
All right.
Now, what was so outstanding? I mean, what was so to be pointed out in that video?
Well,
it's a school of choice.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm
listening. It's a school of choice. It specializes in a particular area, and also it does the other academics that's required or expected. Mm-hmm. You got white retired firefighters that's in the school teaching black kids. And guess what else? You heard him said that it was funded in part by J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan has been the target of what? Reparation lawsuits.
And they don't know that.
You see what I'm talking about?
Right.
Now, you're going to have some history. I'm sure you got some listening that always come on here talking about that, quote, unquote, that white boy. Well, where is the black organization that should be sponsoring this? Where are all the black males that should be working with them? Now, I'm not saying that they don't, but they weren't here. And West Palm Beach is majority black community, last time I checked.
You're right.
West Palm Beach High School, looking at this information here, is 96% black. Graduation rate, 83%. That's low. Math proficiency, 24%. Reading proficiency, 27%. My question again, L.A., where are the black folks to be working with these kids? You see, look at the picture. Look at the expression on these young women, these black girls' face.
Right.
They are happy to be able to do this. This is something that they can cope with. They're not going to cope probably with an engineering or science because their academics is not strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they can and are doing so with this. It's 2,420 students at this magnet school. You know what a magnet school was designed? Magnet schools are designed to bring white children back into the hood to attend school because they weren't going to attend those traditional schools. Guess what? They don't attend the magnet schools. So it's black kids that's going to these magnet schools. Not exclusive white, but to bring them back into the numbers in order to achieve a ratio that was set.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, like in St. Louis, a black child that lived around the corner from a magnet school could not attend because that ratio had not been achieved. In other words, there wasn't enough whites coming back into the city to sit at those desks. I think it had to be 40% white, 60% black in St. Louis.
Mm.
So what black parents started doing, they moved out of the city into the county, and
right.
They changed the rules where they said, well, it can just be county. You don't have to be necessarily white. So that's how
mm-hmm.
black kids got into some of these specialized schools. Their parents moved to the county.
Yeah, that's true.
Once again, why do they have to go through that kind of stuff? Well, I don't know.
Hmm. Well,
but J.P. Morgan has been the target of slavery era lawsuits that happened hundreds of years ago. 18-something before
that. They're going after people with the deepest pockets.
Just to be
going at it
because they got money. And these people mm-hmm. are already doing more than they're what they should be doing. I mean, J.T. Morgan, of course, is a publicly owned company. But they going at it because it's a white company, basically. Not totally, I guess, because it's you can buy shares in it. Anybody can, really. But they just going at it trying to get reparation, whereas the company is already providing things for black students in this case, and they do it to others too, but for black students in this case that you don't see black companies doing in this particular case. Now, do black companies do things? Yes, they do. They do a lot of things to help make life better and provide opportunities for those who are in a disadvantaged situation.
Right.
But the thing is, the fact that these kids, that this school here has a math proficiency of 24%, a reading proficiency of 27%, that ain't J.P. Morgan's responsibility. That's not black business responsibility. Whose responsibility is that? It's the parents, the family, and the immediate community. And they ain't doing it.
That's true.
Now, I hope somebody say that I'm being foolish, being a coon, and being all that crazy mess. It's one thing for sure, L.A., if the issue didn't exist, you couldn't talk about it now, could you?
Well, you're right. And, that whole reparation, I guess it'll always be somebody. Because I'm just looking at the progress man is making. We got people, Bezos and Virgin of Galactic. You got new frontiers open, so it's like, you've been saying this the whole time. Get involved with STEM or something like that, or get left behind. And I think I can't see.
Let me tell you what else.
Building up any steam.
Let me give you another association. This dumbass Joe Biden. And I call him that because he's my president. He's president of the United States. Well, he's the insurrectionist of the United States. And because I don't think he won the election fairly. This is what they're doing. They're spending so much money trying to buy favoritism. Now, Medicare and Social Security is facing shortages. And by the next 5 years, I think 2025, maybe 2030, there's going to be cuts in Social Security up to 24%. In other words, if you're getting $1,000 a month, you're going to be starting getting $750 a month, roughly.
Right.
All right, what did that do, L.A.? Well, if you got grandparents that's retired, that's able to help the young, the children, their grandchildren, in providing some sort of resources or whatever they can with what they have left over from what they have to live with that they receive in Social Security. If you have organizations that receive donations of some sort from these people, guess what, L.A.? They're not going to be able to do it no longer.
Right.
Because their benefits will be cut after this haphazard spending that you see these Democrats doing now. They're
right.
creating future problems. They're creating future problems that will fuel these avenues that exist now that everybody label systemic racist, like prisons, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, you got people bringing that up too. Well, I see. Well, you know what the landscape is. See what the landscape is and do your thing.
Well, see, here's the thing too. Some of these voters are just plain idiots. They let themselves be persuaded and coerced by fake news and other instruments into performing and acting out how they did, voting for this idiot and putting him in office. At least the other man addressed a lot of these problems or tried to.
Right. Well, there's only so much you can do in 4 years. And two of those 4 years, you're in an election cycle.
But that only is like that because people are so easily, and especially a certain kind, Bay Bay's family and Ray Ray's family, are so easily emotionalized, coerced into a certain behavior, where actually they go against their own long-term overall interests. They're against school choice. That's what you're looking at right there. That's choice.
Right.
That's what parents say, I want my children to go here. And it should expand further than that to whatever the parent wants. You got a governor that's running, a man that's running for governor, McAuliffe in Virginia. He has publicly stated that parents have no business telling school districts on how to teach their children. And he's running in a tight race. Youngster is just the opposite. He's a conservative. McAuliffe is a Democrat. Why in the hell would you tell parents that they have no business holding school districts accountable and telling them how they what they want their children to be taught? This picture right here, did not the parents say this is what I want my children to be involved in? Didn't that girl, that lady say that she's living out her father's dream who died from cancer?
She did say that. She did say it.
Having the complaints been forever, like in New York, that blacks are never hired in those departments, and then when times come for them to do the qualification things needed in order to get hired, they fall short. Well, you think these girls go fall short? They're doing this in high school. Guess who else tried to do that in a local high school? The same thing you're looking at there. Guess, L.A., who tried to do that same type of program in high schools in St. Louis, especially Normandy High School there on St. Charles, Rock Road, and Lucas and Hunt. Guess who? You speak to him, L.A.
Huh?
You are speaking to him.
Well, it worked out for you.
It did not work because the daggone black in charge did not want it. You know what they wanted? Culinary arts.
There's too much of that. Too much of that. We got enough cooks there already.
I went to the U.S. Department of Transportation and they provide the curriculum for free, the national standards for fire basic. They provide paramedics course curriculum. They provide it for free. They sent me a CD that was zipped. I busted open, had about 800 pages. I needed a 6-inch binder in order to contain all of it. And I took it to the school district, to the principal. The principal there, his name was Alvin. I can't think of Alvin's last name. I don't even think he's still living. Now, he was basically for it. You had a white woman there, and she was like a counselor. And they wanted to have her and some other black wanted to have culinary arts. I went to Mid-County Fire Department, and I talked to the fire chief. And he said, well, whenever time comes where they're at a point in the curriculum where they need to have hands-on with the equipment, the pumpers, the fire truck pumpers and ladders and boots, he said, we would come to the school, the high school, and provide that resource. I talked to the fire instructor with St. Louis Public, St. Louis Fire Department, and I can't think of his name right now. He said that he would provide instructors, just like you see those ones right there.
Right.
But guess what the Democrats done?
What's that?
The Democrats at the State Board of Education said that the instructors got to be teachers. Think about that. What hell teacher going to be doing teaching the basics of fire and working as a teacher? That's dumb. Firefighters make more than teachers.
I noticed that when I was at a vocational school in D.C. They couldn't keep – matter of fact, they didn't even have an electrical wiring teacher. And you had some students that went to that school just for that, but – matter of fact, he went to two schools, but by the time he got there, was never an electrical wiring teacher. I ran into him some years later. He was working at a Hilton Hotel or something, you know, doing something there with catering.
Chief George was the first black firefighter, fire chief for the city of St. Louis. He tried to make things right, too. Chief George also try to get a program that would start the education toward becoming a firefighter in high school. He was met with resistance. Of course, they fired him. It was another man who also is on the board of FIRE. FIRE is the association that represents the black firefighters in the city of St. Louis. And I can't think of his name. I got his contact, but I can't think of his name. So what I'm telling you, man, some of this stuff just gets on your nerves.
Like, there's plenty of opportunity out here, but a lot of us are not aware of it.
And these ain't white folks that's doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you what happened early on when they were bringing up the issue that you didn't have blacks in these fire departments, even the ones out in, like your Ferguson and that. There was resistance, but that resistance moved on. Now you got blacks just as worse as any goddamn body else. And it just gets on your nerves. That's why you don't want to be fooling with that mess.
Right.
Because the people that you fighting look like you.
Right. Well, yeah, we're there. Well, like you're always saying, you're right. Not all blacks are alike.
Well, here's the thing. The damn party is not for it. That Democratic Party ain't for this. Chief George, there he is. And I can't think of the other person's name. Come to me probably 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's what I'm talking about, man. You get, and see, I can understand poor blacks voting for these programs, these program-offering politicians, because they need some help to stand on their feet.
Right.
But they will continue to vote for them. That's why I say that people that's on government programs should not be allowed to vote. You know why?
Well,
because
they're
going to continue to vote for the person that's providing them with these programs, which don't never get them out of the circumstance that they're in. If that was the case, why in the hell are we still talking about this stuff? Wasn't there not a war on poverty?
As you know, a lot of people in that socioeconomic group, they're not, most of them are not forward thinkers. Live for today.
Yeah.
Or live for whenever that next paycheck's going to roll around.
So you talking about tiny homes and that. Some people ain't going to get involved in that.
No, well, like
so
I said, most people are addicted to the comfort and conveniences.
His name is Addison Stewart.
Addison Stewart.
He's a firefighter there in St. Louis. He was also trying to work on the issue. I sent a lot of people to him. He had an educational program set up there in Dellwood, right there off of West Florissant Avenue, right next to Ferguson, in the community, Dellwood Community Center. Addison Stewart.
Okay, I'm looking him up now.
So anyway.
I call one of my Addison Stewart on Instagram.
The EMT instructor for the city of St. Louis, I think his name was Shelton, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
EMT instructor for the city of St. Louis Fire Department.
Oh, there's more than one Addison Stewart.
Well, hey, I got Addison's phone number.
Okay.
I can tell you what the last four digits is, 7935.
Let me see. I think you mentioned him before, and I looked at Addison. I think I looked him up. You mentioned him about maybe 2 months ago. All right, the one I just found, that's not, because that's a female.
And you know the thing is, why come I wanted to put it in the high schools? Because of guess what? And it's very few times you hear me say this, because of what I call systematic racism. Let me tell you how that works.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fire school there in Wellston, Missouri, and to go there and apply for the application, because I got an application. They start asking you about your damn credit. Here you are, high schooler, coming out of high school. What the heck kind of credit you going to have?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of credit you going to have coming out of high school?
Not much at all, if none, for most students.
So I said, the hell with this, let's put it in the high school. Another group wanted to put it in North County Tech. I didn't say no. Put it in this high school right here, Normandy High School. That's where it should be at, just like this one you're seeing on this video. It's in a high school. It don't have to be no technical school. It can be.
Right.
Put it in the high school. So when they come out of high school, they got the prerequisites for being a firefighter. You know what happened if a normal, traditional student comes out to high school? You know how it works. For them to go to the training, they got to be hired on by a fire department.
Okay.
Well, hell, the major issue was these fire departments wasn't hiring blacks. Even if you had blacks that was coming out of Illinois that were firefighters, they would have to go through the whole testing project to eat the work in St. Louis County. As if they never done a bit of firefighting in their life.
Right. Well, I don't figure if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't mind.
So anyway, you know, you talking about that school, you talking about the water not being paid. All this stuff is just completely out of damn control. It's just completely out of control. When if they can't pay, if these retired people can't pay their water bill now, how you think they're going to pay it because of Democratic spending is going to cause Social Security to be cut 24 to 25%? Do people have any foresight, look down the road?
Many don't.
Yeah.
Many don't. Well, a lot of people are living for today's Friday, living for the weekend. Not everybody, but many of them. So
that's what's going to be hitting them down the road.
And down the road will be here sooner than they expect.
It's going to affect a whole lot of people because of silly stuff that they're doing today, bringing in all these damn immigrants. And you got 400,000 black in prisons, at least 400,000. That there in itself is ridiculous. And not including others, not to leave out others, whites too.
Well, Pianki, I'm going to pick up on Monday.
All right, then, Elliot, I'll talk to you.
All right, you have a good weekend. Let's see. Now, let me get the outro music. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute, Oh, Robin.
Hi, hello? Everybody. I'm back.
Oh, okay. We were logging off. But you got anything you want to put out there?
You know, I just wanted to say, don't fall for the okey-doke, okay? So, like Pianki just said, people are having, firefighters from St. Louis County are having to retest and blah, blah, blah. That's ridiculous. They should not be allowed to do that. If you have an education and you have the qualifications and you have a certification, municipalities and government agencies, they should not be allowed to set their own policies and rules and stuff, because this has got to be violating a lot of our constitutional rights, if not moral. So, okay? Yeah.
On a side note.
All.
Okay, I have a side note before you go. Before I play the outro music again, are you aware there's been a loss in the DeBarge family? Familiar with it? Tommy
no.
DeBarge. Tommy DeBarge, the third. Yeah, he passed away at 64. He's the second DeBarge to, well, second out of the DeBarge siblings to go. He was 64. He had been sick for a number of years, though.
Okay.
I got some videos of him, but he had, I don't know, liver. He had a few things wrong with him. Died in the hospital.
Okay.
Anyway, on that note, that's more of a hilltop topic.
Yeah, which we will be on. We're having, I'm not sure, but we'll be back on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 6 p.m.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
On that note, I'm going to log off here. We're in overtime, and the Sandman keeps throwing stuff in my eyes. So... And it's hard for me to fight them right now. All right.
Have a great weekend.